Hi, everybody. Welcome to Busy Living Sober, episode 363. And it's all about comparing. That's what it's all about. I have been, I had a great weekend. I went away with JF, and we went up to visit some old friends that live on Amelia Island. It was really, really fun. It was great to get away. And I've been thinking a lot about the fact that, you know, 17 years ago, I was drinking. And it's crazy to think that in a week from today, I'll have 17 years of continuous sobriety. And I always tell you guys that the only thing I've done right in the past 17 years is not pick up a drink. And I'm thinking about when I started the podcast, which was like 7 years ago. And I started this podcast, I had been, you know, when I first got sober, I coined the phrase sober, not ashamed, because there was so much shame in me getting sober. That's the truth. I was like comparing myself to everybody else. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what is the definition of somebody who drinks too much? Is that the person who jumps on trains and has a bottle in their brown paper bag and they live on the streets? And that was not me. That did not define me. But what did define me is someone that drank alcohol too much. And I'd have one too many cocktails every time I drank. And I was a blackout drinker from the age of 13 till when I quit drinking at 37. So here I am, and we fast forward, and I think about all the things that have transpired. And when I started this podcast, what I'd been doing first was I was going around in my town of Wayne, Pennsylvania, and going and doing these talks, and I was calling them Let's Talk. And I'd be at the local church, and I'd set up with a friend of mine, and he would come and he'd do all the audio. And I want to thank him if he's listening. And he would do all the audio for me, and I would have these town, I'd try to have these town halls, but no one ever came. Some people did, but not very many. And, then I got this amazing marketing team at 0 to 5, and they were awesome. And they are the ones that came up with Busy Living Sober. And it's really kind of funny because now today I have so many different guests on the show, and I like to have some people sometimes that aren't necessarily alcoholics, but I find their stories intriguing. And I have some of those coming up, and they're not, maybe not about drinking, but they're about how I continue to live my life busy, which is my nickname since my brother was born pretty much, which is a long, long time ago. You know, busy is my nickname, and busy, and I'm living sober, and how I'm getting through life living sober. And I live my life in sobriety in the world, right? I did get sober using the 12 steps, and it's been amazing. And I would never change that for anything in the world. And those steps have given me a life that's like beyond my wildest dreams in so many different ways, because those steps have been able to help me navigate my life. They're life steps, and they're amazing. And I would never say anything bad about it. I'm just recognizing today that there's different ways that people are getting sober, and I can't poo-poo anything. It's whatever works for you. So I think comparing each other really gets us sick, right? It makes us feel yucky when we see some people. And so when I've been busy living my life and busy living sober, and I'm busy meeting all these people and having all these experiences, that's why I want to share them with you, so that you know that if you decide to put alcohol out of your life, that you can still have a fun life, right? And sober has so many connotations. A lot of them sound drib and drab. And let's face it, we know that I'm not drib and drab. We know that I do not sit in my house all by myself all the time and cry. I do not do that. I live. And I have fun, and I embrace life for what it is. So it's so much fun, because since doing Busy Living Sober, it's given me the opportunity to talk to all these people that I might not necessarily speak to. So that's why I have the podcast. And I just wanted to throw that out there, that if you're out there and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to have a life again, which I thought 16 years ago. 16 years ago, when I was still drinking, I was not like, oh my God, sign me up. I'm going to quit drinking. I was so scared. I was like, if I quit drinking, what is going to happen to me? What am I going to do socially? How am I going to have a life? I was so big into going to parties and hanging out with people. And I was like, what am I going to do? How am I going to make friends? And it's so crazy because I have a friend that just reached out to me the other day, and she's sober and she has all these friends that are sober. And she's like, we have a phone call. And it's so great. She has this phone call with these women, and there's 23 of them, and they don't drink. And I don't know how many of them go to AA. It doesn't even matter, or how many people use 12 step, excuse me, and how many don't. But the fact that they're getting together and they're communicating is amazing. And she had said that to me. I'm like, you started this? And she said, yes. And I'm like, that's awesome. And I feel like it's awesome. And she goes, well, you know how lonely it is when you first get sober. And I was like, no, I don't. Because when I got sober, I went to a church basement. And that's where I found my people. That's where they rose. That's where I learned to love myself, because they loved me till I loved me. And that's where it all began. It was in a church basement. The fact that there's more ways to skin a cat is amazing. And for me to judge what is right and what is wrong is not the way that I want to live my life. I do not want to tell you what is right and what is wrong. It's, I know I'm passionate about the fact that alcohol will kill you. I am passionate with the fact that this disease is cunning, baffling, and powerful. I am passionate about the fact that if you don't learn how to live in your own skin, life will be tough. It is hard. And if you don't have people around you to help bring you up, it's even harder. And you're like, well, I don't have those people. And I'm like, if you haven't had those people, go find them. You know, the most amazing thing that happened since the pandemic is the Zoom thing. And being able to go to a Zoom meeting and talk to people is so awesome. That you can go and sign on a meeting. If you wanted to, you can just go to AA meetings online, and you know, they're all over the world, all over the time. There's not even a time of the day I don't think there is a meeting. It's kind of crazy. So, you know, those opportunities are there for you today that weren't there. And then they have this sober, curious movement, which I think is kind of cool that people are doing, and they're meeting, you know, they're meeting with people as well. They're getting together on phone calls and on Facebook and whatever. And again, there's a million ways to skin a cat, and who am I to say what is right and what is wrong? I know what works for me, and that worked for me, but what works for me might not work for you. And I think that that's something that is huge when we go and compare ourselves. We want everybody to be the same, right? We want everybody to believe the same things we believe, and it's okay if people don't. If somebody doesn't believe the same way that you do, does that make them bad? I think it makes us human. It makes us having human experiences. I don't think it is, we were supposed to come into life and be the exact same way every single solitary person, right? It just isn't. We're all different DNA. I was talking to my close friend this morning as I went for my walk, and we were talking about it. And she said, well, I have a friend who's sober and hasn't drank, but they eat edibles. What do you think about that? And I'm like, she's like, well, the edibles hit a different part of your brain. And, you know, marijuana is different than alcohol. And I'm like, well, I'm not a doctor. I don't claim to be a doctor, and I don't play one on TV. I am a coach. And I have seen circumstances where marijuana will take you down the same path as alcohol. And it will lead you to whatever drug that's your drug of choice. I know some people use marijuana and don't have any side effects whatsoever. Again, this is your life, and this is what's right for you. And we've spent so much time in our lives, at least when I was younger, you know, comparing and wanting to be like everybody else. But if we're like everybody else and we treat everybody like everybody else, I mean, we have to obviously treat people with kindness, but we have to treat ourselves with kindness. And I never knew how to do that till I got sober. I just didn't. I didn't know. I could fake it with the best of them, right? I could put on the outfit. I could put on the shoes. I could put on the makeup. I could put on the jewelry. I could put on the handbags. I could do all this stuff. And I could say, oh, I feel like $1 million. And that's faking it till you make it. I did that. And it got me through. And I'm not going to say that that's bad, because right now I'm doing it. You know, I'm going through, you know, different changes in life, and we have to do whatever works for us to help us get another day of being happy, because life can be overwhelming as anything. So when it's overwhelming, how do you take care of you? When you realize you're going through a hard day and you're like, oh my God, I'm going through a shitty day and I don't feel great. It's Monday. It sucks. and my day's already shitty. You know, let's just say, we're just going to give some scenarios. Okay. The dog ran away. Your clothes weren't clean. There was no gas in your car when you got into your car. Somebody had used your car and you thought that they were going to put gas in it and they didn't. And you get in there and you're like, what the hell? I got to go to work and I'm late. Or there was no coffee and you need coffee. Or even worse, there's no cream to put in your coffee. And you're like, my day has started off shitty and it's a shitty day and it's a rough day. Or even worse, you've lost somebody. Somebody passed away. You lost a friend, you lost a relative, you lost someone, you found out you lost someone, and you're like, oh my God, this is the worst day. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I hate this day. I want this day to be over. I can understand you wanting the day to be over, but I also can understand you going, all right, I've got to take a deep breath. I have to firmly plant my feet on the ground and I'd say, I got to get through today. I got to get through today and I'm going to change this. And if you wear makeup, put some makeup on, maybe put on your favorite jewelry, put on your favorite song, whatever song you love that you know will pick you up no matter what. Now me, I like 80s music. I like 70 love songs. I love 90s pop. That's my jam. So if I'm feeling yucky, I will put that stuff on and I will dance. I love, my favorite channel on XM radio is, oh my God, what is it? Is it 29? It's the 80s station. I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. It's like my jam. I listen to it and I love listening to The Cure and listen to New Order and all the old Flock of Seagulls. Like all those old bands make me so happy. So if I'm feeling yucky, put that stuff on. It changes you completely. These are tools that you have to learn. You can't learn that when I feel like shit, I'm going to go on Facebook. No, no, no. That is not the answer. Bam. Wrong answer. X. If you're playing a game, X. Do not go on social media. Do not go on Instagram unless you're looking at reels of strangers. Do not go on Facebook and compare what your weekend was like to your friend's weekend that absolutely looks perfect and they all look perfect. And you're looking at it going, oh my God, this is my life. My life sucks. Why the hell? Look at this person. Their life's perfect. If you're feeling shit, do not do that. Do not do that. You know, I was feeling, I compared. I listened to and I think I kind of talked about it on when I did go a little bit live on, not live, but I put a reel up on Instagram on Friday about, I was listening to a podcast about families that Mel Robbins had put up, which I love Mel Robbins, but sometimes I'm like, oh my God, does she have a perfect life and perfect kids? Oh my God. I don't have that. I mean, her husband sounds fabulous. I mean, he realized he had a bad relationship with marijuana and that was kind of skimmed over. But, you know, I look and I compare and I'm like, her life sounds so freaking perfect. Look at her 3 kids. They're all uber successful. Everybody's doing really great. She's got the cute husband that loves her to death and they have this great life. And I know she says it isn't always perfect, but I like compare and I'm like, my life, shit. I was divorced forever. I was scraping stuff together, you know, to pay bills. Oh my God. It was so horrible. Anyway, I look back to those times. It was very, very hard. I got sober with 3 little kids. It was hard. My ex has, I'm not going to talk about him, but whatever was going on with him down the street was going on down with him. It was very, very stressful. And the only thing I can tell you I did is I didn't drink. And I danced through those times and I was not perfect by any stretch of imagination. I fucked up a lot. And you know, in some ways I may be paying for it with what's happening with my life right now. And I can't go backwards. I know that. I know I don't have a time machine. But today I just try to strive to be my best. And I told somebody last week that I'm like, I am going to try to do my best until the day I die, right? Like that's I'm going to try to be better all the time. And I screw up because we're human and we're fallible. Every person walking on this planet can have a problem and can screw up. There is no one walking that is perfect. Now you might look at them and say, oh my God, they have a perfect life. No, that's a lie. That's what your head's telling you, that they have a perfect life because your eyes look with your brain and you see these pictures and you think that equals perfection, but you have no idea what that person's going through. Nobody knows what it's like to walk in somebody else's shoes. No one does. You can maybe try and pretend to know what it's like, but until you really walk in their shoes, you can't judge them. It is, life is about learning how to dance in the chaos. It truly is. It's learning how to get through one day at a time. and manage everything. Manage your emotions, manage your expectations, manage, you know, how you feel on the inside. It's, you know, last week, and I'll just share this with you. I was telling my Jeannie, who I was talking to on my walk, I was telling Jeannie, you know, I have an autoimmune disease. I don't know how many people out there have one, but I have one. I've never really talked about it on here. So here I am going to tell you about it a little bit. So, I have psoriasis, and I thought, oh, it's okay. My grandmother had psoriasis. That's probably how I got it. That's why I have it. So anyway, fast forward, I got a letter from my doctors, and they said, well, if you have psoriasis, you could have psoriatic arthritis. And I'm like, really? So I go and I get tests again, and lo and behold, I have psoriatic arthritis. And so I have, you know, I have joint pain. I can't play all these sports that I love to play all the time. I have to take breaks. I can't do everything at full throttle. It just doesn't work anymore. So I'm managing. I actually am excited. I'm going to have some people on to talk about these autoimmune diseases for us, because I feel like there's so much information in the world. And you're like, what is it? What is it? Is it this or is it that? Am I supposed to go holistic? Am I supposed to have a coach, or am I supposed to have a doctor? What am I supposed to do? And I can't tell you what to do. All I can do is give you information and you figure out what's right for you. But as I said, everybody's fallible. Nobody's perfect. We hear all the time that priests aren't perfect. Lawyers aren't perfect. Doctors aren't perfect. The presidents for sure aren't perfect. Politicians definitely are not perfect. So what works, again, finding out what works for you. And given the fact that I have this arthritis, I don't want it to be like, that's not going to define me. It's like my alcoholism isn't going to define me. These are just things that I am going down the checklist of life. If you're supposed to fill in a checklist form with your life, I check the box that I have arthritis. I check the box that I drink too much. I check the box that I'm married. I checked the box that I have kids. So, you know, all those boxes. So this is just another thing to add to my life. And I could let it get me down. It could have it make me lose sleep, but I'm just going to learn how to manage with it, right? And the last thing I want to do is take medication. So I'm going to find alternative ways. So I know it's exercise. Hence, I was walking this morning, called Jeannie. I will go swimming later on today. I drink a ton of water. And I'm going to try and do a more vegetarian lifestyle, not so many, more of like a paleo diet, I guess. And I am going to try and not eat sweets. But as I've mentioned on here many times, when I was getting sober, it's like I lived at Baskin Robbins. I lived at Baskin Robbins. When I put down the drink and I had that craving for sweets, and I was like, okay, I gave up my one vice. What am I going to put in place of this? And for a long time, it was ice cream. And still at times it can be ice cream. And I could be known to eat ice cream every day and be so happy, but I don't think it's actually agreeing with me anymore, fortunately. So I can have it in moderation maybe once a month, but I can't have it all the time. But when I was first getting sober, I was like, this was my thing. This is what filled that hole in my soul. We all have this hole that we feel like less than. And especially when we admit that, and we put down something so big as alcohol, it changes. And it's like, now what is going to be my replacement? And I can say, you know, 16 years in a week, it's been, filling that hole inside of me has been definitely filled more with God than it has with anything else of late. I always wanted it to be God before, and it's not like the God that I had at the Catholic Church or at the Episcopal Church. In fact, it's seeing people, it's hearing things, it's watching things work in people's lives. Like, somebody gave me, when I was first getting sober, this book called God's Little Winks. And I've talked about it before, and I'm winking if you're watching me on YouTube. If not, you're just listening to me, but I was winking. And it's like everything in life, if we let go, it all works out always. And sometimes working out could be somebody going and passing away. And we think, oh, that's terrible. And some people are only supposed to be here for a finite time. They're not supposed to be here forever. And they're supposed to be here to teach us a lesson. And I don't ever want to question God for what he's done and what has happened and what is happening in the moment and what will happen in the future. I could be mad and say, oh my gosh, why did you give me alcoholism? Why did you give me an autoimmune disease? Why? And the question isn't so much as why, it's like, what am I going to do with this? And how am I going to share with others and let them know that they're not alone? Okay. I don't have a perfect life. I've never had a perfect life. I've had my struggles, some of my own choice and of my own, obviously the repercussions of the choices that I've made and decisions that I've made. And, but I can't change the past. All I can do is learn from it. And I can't compare what somebody else's life is like, because I don't always know what their life really is like. And if you're out there and you're like, I can't drink, I don't like the way I drink, and everybody around me likes to drink, I don't like the way I drink, but everybody around me drinks, and I don't know what to do because I don't really like myself when I wake up in the morning and I don't feel 100%. And I'll tell you this, you can't have a choice. And I know it seems hard, but I'm going to tell you, hard is pushing a big boulder up a mountain. That's really hard. I think dealing with some of our family issues, it's really hard. But if you decide to put down the drink, just like I'm putting down sugar right now, is it hard? Is it going to be uncomfortable? For sure. It is going to totally be uncomfortable, especially because my JF loves to eat sweets and he can do it and it doesn't affect him. But for me, I'm going to have to be okay. And I'm going to have to say, I don't do that anymore. You know, I luckily have somebody in my life that shares with me, and I got a chance to see her yesterday, and she's like my, oh my God, I love her so much. I hope she's listening. And if she is, I'm sending you big kisses and hugs, and she's amazing. And she said to me yesterday, she quit sugar 10 years ago. And she said, sugar would come around and I'd be like, I don't do that anymore. And, I don't do that anymore. So that's my new way. And if it's with alcohol that you're like, I don't want to do this anymore, you can do it. And you don't have to compare yourself. Well, Sally can drink as much as she wants to drink and I can't. Well, it's okay. Let her do what she's going to do. But you do you, boo-boo. You do you, boo-boo. I was talking to my friends. I was telling them that this weekend. I was like, you do you, boo-boo. And they were laughing hysterically. They thought it was so funny. They're like, you do you, boo-boo. And we all have to do ourselves, boo-boo. And instead of comparing, we have to love. Instead of judging, we have to love. And the first person we have to love is ourselves. And to find ourselves, that we're going to love ourselves authentically, we have to accept some of the bumps, some of the lumps, some of the, you know, all these things that have gone on. Look at my face, all these wrinkles. I have to accept all of those. I have to accept the fact that I screwed up in my life. And some people might not accept my apology. And I can only do what I can do. And beyond that, I just have to keep walking one day at a time. And so if you're out there and you need to pick me, call me. I mean, not call me, but you can send me an email at elizabeth@elizabethchance.com. And no, I'm really looking forward to this week's guest, by the way. And you have to tune in. I'm not telling you anything, but I'm excited to have her on because she's had a big anniversary. And we all have to know that we have to love each other more and not judge each other so much. And if we love ourselves, it's so much easier not to judge somebody else, because we're like, everybody's trying to do their best. We're all trying to do our best. So to everybody out there, next Monday will be, let's hope, God willing, 17 years. And I'm going to so excited that I get to celebrate Monday Motivation, my 17th year of sobriety, next Monday with all you guys. So until next time, which will be Wednesday, keep getting busy, living sober. Bye-bye, everybody. Take care. Enjoy. And if you like what you hear, please subscribe. Take care, everybody. Bye.